What's up with that? So,
could y'all just hold on a minute?
Right. This is what happens. I gotta get my clothes on real quick. Hold on, just one second. Could you help me, please? All right, I got it. It is just an honor for me. I've been hearing about this place for literally a couple of years. And everybody talks about your youth conferences, the other conference that you put on. Of course, I'm a big fan. That's not a right word, but I love your Mr. Hiles there. It just means a lot to me. His book really changed my life. I have to read it again. I mean, it's just like, it kind of, my mind's not wrapping around everything. I don't know if y'all read it, but it's good stuff. I've heard so many good things about your pastor. My daughter told me, she said, it's going to be very difficult for you to figure out who's who because they're all related. I'm like, where am I going? You know, so is this Arkansas? I don't know what's going on here. So, it's just really great. She just told me so many stories of you guys, and she loves you guys, and I just appreciated the way the kids here treated her. And then I guess one of the things that's really cool is they took her out to go shoot a shotgun. All right. What you have to understand is I'm country. I mean, I'm country. You know, I mean, like, really country. And she's not. She was born in Arizona, but she don't know the first thing about all that. I raised her in Montana. We raised horses in Montana. She should be country, but she's not. I don't know what happened. So she sends me a video from your phone. What's your name again? Brooke. Brooke's phone doesn't tell me it's her. And have Brooke take a picture, a video of her shooting a shotgun for the first time ever, right? And all I see is, it's a number I don't even recognize. And all I see is my daughter's, some person, I can't see it's even a girl. And I just hear the shotgun go off and a little girl, I'm like, what is this? So I nicely said, who is this, you know? And it turns out she was all offended. I didn't recognize it was her. I'm like, what am I, you know? So, and then she said, Daddy, I shot 3 shells. I'm like, 3 shells? Do you mean clay pigeons? You thought you shot 3 of the, okay, she called it shells. So there you go. And then the next picture is her holding it like this. She is so, like, she looks so redneck with that, holding it up like, I love it. I'm like, that's the proudest moment of my life. I showed it to everybody. Hey, look at my daughter. So I'm very honored to be here. It means a lot to me. And I also understand that this is not your normal format, that you're usually doing a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And if you're not coming to that prayer meeting, I just asked them if they could record them. Because from what I'm hearing that's going on in the, not prayer meeting, Bible study meeting, and the Bible study, some of the topics being discussed, the way they're delving into it, I just wish I was here to hear it. So I told them, record it, you know, because I'd like to hear some. I bet it's some good stuff comes out of that, you know what I mean? So, but it just means a lot to me. I'm a little bit nervous because of that, but if it's okay, we just be home here, have a good time. All right. You know what? I'm going to start with this song. This song, I'm not going to go off. I'm just going to sing a song a cappella. I woke up with this song this morning on my heart, and I just been praying for y'all all day. And, you know, just praying that even if there's just one person here tonight, you know, sometimes we just come to church out of habit, and it's a good habit. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you come and you need something. And God, I just want you to know, He knows you. He knows right where you are. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on in your life. And if you came here this evening to get something from God, you are going to get something from God. Amen. It has nothing to do with the person that's up here. It has to do with your heart for you to receive from God tonight. And my heart's just been heavy, not heavy bad, but heavy burden for you in a good way, just to say, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Oh, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, my Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim that kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Father, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are in your presence, Father. We are grateful to be here this evening, Father, and we are thankful to be able to be allowed to walk into your presence, Father. And Father, you know every need, every heart condition, every place, every person in here. Father, I just ask that you minister life and that more abundantly tonight, Father, that you just reach into our hearts, even mine, Father, that you just minister to where exactly what where we are and what we need tonight. In Jesus' name, we just give you this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. Well, hopefully we'll do a few songs, and I do feel like I got a little bit of something that just God's kind of stirred up in me. It's totally not something I've ever talked about before. That I felt like might be for this specific church. And if not, it's for me. I'm how many of y'all know? I'm very transparent, and how many of you know we can be ministered to as well. You know, God, the Spirit of God can minister to us all. So I'm going to bring this down here because this is just weird to be all the way up here. So. Is this all right to bring it down here? And don't be afraid to shout me down or talk to me back to me. I'm. This is just family, right? Literally. So this first song is just where. Let's do Wave on Wave. This is just my testimony. This is how I see God. This is the way. And I'll kind of open up the door a little bit and share with you, be a little transparent with you about where I've been and how God has. You know, restored my life. I've been through some rough times. Let me just kind of just give you a brief history of me. I've been in the ministry since 1994. I started touring with Vern Jackson. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Vern Jackson from TBN. And traveled all over the country with him. And then he put me on TBN all the time. And I didn't really know what TBN was. To be honest with you, I'm country. I'm from Tombstone, Arizona. I'm originally from Amarillo, Texas, moved to Tombstone, Arizona. I don't know the first thing about Christian music or gospel music, or I didn't grow up with that. If it wasn't George Strait, I didn't listen to it. You know, I mean, I'm country, you know, and then I grew up rodeoing and went to high school rodeos, and then I went to college on a rodeo scholarship. I'm country. So my heart's desire was to be a pro rodeo cowboy, and I tried and I failed at that. I got hurt really bad in Santa Fe, New Mexico, but my heart's desire was always to be in that world, in that realm, and God gave me my heart's desire and allowed me to do it as a professional rodeo chaplain. So I traveled the circuit, and I did put on cowboy church for the guys, and you know, when I'd be there, if they get bucked off or get hurt, I'd go to the hospital with them, and that kind of stuff, and it was just a great time of my life. And then I started writing songs because I didn't have anybody to do that with, you know, to help me do cowboy church with. So I started writing my own kind of rodeo Christian country songs. And I'm like, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we could take George Strait music and put Christian words to it? And all of a sudden I had a career. And then that's when Vern Jackson, I started traveling, doing that. And in 1995 or 1996, I was Christian Country Mel Vocalist of the Year. Then I was entertaining. I mean, just had really cool stuff happen to me. And then I moved to Great Falls, Montana, and was raising paint horses. And that was my dream, was to have my own ranch and raise horses and learned What you learn when you move to Montana is that you don't know nothing about horses until you move to Montana. Those guys make you want to wear a ball cap and tennis shoes the rest of your life. You know, I mean, that's some real cowboys out there, you know. But I got around those guys, and I was going through a really rough time, and that's where my life started to kind of unravel. What happened with me is that I got so busy doing ministry, and when I'm talking about busy, I was doing my music. I had a full-time band. We started doing crossover secular stuff, doing like state fairs all over the West, and had a big band, had two tour buses, and then I worked with the local church to do outreach. I was the outreach pastor of the local big church in Great Falls, and then we were starting to do this thing called Ride Right for kids, where we teach kids how to ride bulls and broncs and how to rope, and you know, without actually getting killed on one, you know, use equipment instead of getting on, you know. And I was so busy doing that I just got lost. And I don't want to make that just so lightly. I got lost. I got so busy doing ministry that I lost track of who I am. And you know, from the time I was a little kid, I was saved early in life, and I was a worshiper. My whole life I was a worshiper. I'd be at rodeos, and I'd be in the chutes just worshiping God. I'd be playing soccer and being the goalie, just worshiping God. And somewhere in all that busyness, I lost everything. I lost myself. I lost my family. I lost my wife. I lost my ministry. I lost everything. And I came crashing down. And there's a lot of stuff that happened in all that we don't, you know, just I'll be transparent, but it just doesn't matter, because it was every bad thing that could happen happened, and it was like a big old hurricane. And I ended up, my wife at the time took ill, and we moved to Michigan to get her closer to her family. We went through a divorce. She ended up passing away. I mean, it just, everything that could happen bad happened. And I just got angry and just got bitter. And I don't even, this is for somebody here tonight, because I don't usually even share all this. This is just I'm just sharing my heart with you. And I got to a place where I just got angry, just real bitter. And I'm talking about the kind of angry where I had fits of rage and just get stupid crazy. And I'll be honest, I ended up in a bar in Toledo. You ever heard that song? In a bar in Toledo, you know. I was a bouncer at a bar in Toledo. My biggest fear was that anybody would ever recognize me, that anybody would ever say, "Aren't you?" And one night, I'm sitting there, and in walks this Indian right here. And she walked in, and my life was in shambles, you know. And like I said, I was really scared of being ever noticed. But she noticed me. She recognized me. And I thought she was kind of, you know, hitting on me. Because, you know, I'm a dude, and that's what dudes do, you know. Like, hey, what's going on? And that's not what was going on. And like most guys, I missed it, completely missed it. And so I walked up, and I'm like, "Hey, do you want to do karaoke?" They were doing karaoke that night. And she said, "No, but I know you." And as soon as she did that, it's like just my whole body just shut down. I'm like, "You don't know me." I literally said, "You don't know me. I'm from Texas." And I turned around, walked off. And my whole body's like this, you know. And she come running up behind me. She says, "I know you. You used to come to my church and used to sing in my church." And, you know, and without being mean about it, she was like, "What are you doing here?" You know, and that was the beginning. And the only thing I can tell you, I'm just going to tell you this by this song, is that all I know is that no matter how far I got, no matter how crazy I got, there was a part in me that was his. And that as bitter and angry as I got, I just had this thing where I knew that someday I'd be okay. And that if I could, I know I could never, I just knew enough and had enough love and enough foundation in me to know that I could never outrun him. That at some point, when I got done acting crazy, when I got done being stupid, when I got done being hurt, when I got done, he was going to be there for me. And so there was a point in my life where I just said, "You know what, God, I just know that you're not going to give up on me. you know? And so this song just hits me that I look at it like ocean waves, that he just keeps on coming. He just kept on coming after me. He never gave up on me. He never quit on me. It's just wave after wave after wave. And I want y'all to hear this song and that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Did you turn this up a little bit? And yeah, that. Thank you, Father. Mile upon mile, got no direction. We're all playing the same game. We're all looking for direction, but just afraid to say his name. So caught up now in pretending, what we're seeking is the truth. Well, I'm just looking for a happy ending. Lord, all I'm looking for is you, yeah. Lord, you came upon me wave on wave. You're the reason that I'm still here. Am I the one you were sent to save? Lord, you came upon me wave on wave. Listen to this. Well, I wandered out into the water, and I thought that I might drown. Well, I don't know what I was after. I just know I was going down. Yeah, but that's when you found me. I'm not afraid anymore. You say, you know, I always had you, Johnny. Lord, I was just waiting for you to find what you were looking for. Come on. Lord, you came upon me wave on wave. You're the reason I'm still here. Am I the one you were sent to save? Yeah, you came upon me wave on wave. Listen, isn't that how it always works? It just keeps coming wave on. It's all about relationship, right? Just wave on, wave. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to still get to be in your presence and still get to be used by you, that you are my King. You are my Lord. You're not just my Savior. You're my Lord. And Father, I thank you that I get to be restored, that I get to be loved by you, that I get to be used by you. And Father, I thank you that there's no matter everyone in here, no matter where we are, you'll never quit. You'll never give up. You just keep on coming like waves on the ocean, Father. And we're so grateful for your grace and for your mercy. And we're so adore you tonight and so thankful that we can stand here before you and say that I'm yours and you're mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, yeah. It's okay, baby. That's my fault. Just fade it out. That's good. Amen? Amen. So just to make that kind of story, you know, so I'm a part of Cornerstone Church, Bishop Michael Pitts. I don't know if y'all know who he is, but just amazing, awesome man of God, and that I get to be under. And when the first time that we started connecting, she's like, we're not dating. She says, if you want to be with me, we're going to church. And I'm like, you got to understand this. I toured the country and would stop 4 times a year at Cornerstone Church. Cornerstone Church is a huge church. And it's an honor to even be ever invited. And I used to go there 4 times a year. They'd fly me in. They'd bring my whole band in. They'd do all kinds of stuff. And she just happens to go to Cornerstone. You know how big the city is in Toledo and Maumee and all that? And I'm like, of all the churches, you want me to go there, everybody's going to know me there. And I don't want to go there. I said, can't we just go to a different church? She said, that's the church I go to. If you want to come with me, that's the church we're going to go to. So I walked in. I had my ball cap on. And I went to the balcony, and I hid out. And as soon as I walked in, one of the ushers said, hey, you need to take your hat off. And I'm like, no, I don't. And I turned around and walked out of the church. And Gail didn't have a problem. She loved on me, and she came up and said, that's okay. We'll just go back next week. So I go back to next week, and I don't want to make this too long, but I go back next week, and I didn't wear a hat. Turns out, though, by the way, they have a new rule because of that. That usher was so upset about me leaving because of my hat that they went down and they talked to ushers and they make a new rule now. You can wear hats at Cornerstone Church. That's the truth. Isn't that cool? So every time he sees me, he says, you need to take your hat off. I still won't do it. So long story short, this time I sat in the very back row. I was so scared of being seen and being noticed. How many of you know there comes a point in your life where you got to stop caring what everybody else thinks and get where you're supposed to get? You know, you got to stop being so shallow, and you got to get real and say, you know what? I don't care what it takes. I've got to have something happen in my life. So I walked in, and my whole body, my whole self was shaking, literally shaking in the back row. And this is a big church, and I'm in the very back row hiding down, you know, and I'm praying, God, I need a word from you. I need to know that you still love me. I need to know that you're still, that, I mean, literally, you know, you heard people say that, is the roof going to cave in? It wasn't like that, but it was almost like that. That's how I felt. You know, like I was nervous. And I didn't even know that Bishop Pitts would be okay that I was there. That's how much I was nervous. So he's walking around this big stage, and he says that the Spirit, he saw me. And he said the Holy Spirit started speaking to him and telling him to reach out to me. But he couldn't, like, totally stop the whole service and say, hey, man, what are you doing here, you know, because then I would have just freaked out, you know. So he literally starts talking about, he's in the Old Testament, he starts talking about cows. And and it becomes very apparent he don't know nothing about cows. So he stops the service. He goes, you know, I don't know anything about cows, but Johnny's here. He'd know. And when he said it, my just went, you know, and it just kind of, but I broke right then and just started, I literally fell into her arms. And it just was a sign to me that everything's going to be all right, that he loved me. And then, exactly. And so literally after the service, the assistant pastor walked up and said, Bishop wants to meet with you for breakfast tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. And here's the thing. In the rodeo world, in the horse world, when a horse kind of messes up, what you kind of do, the old way of doing it, is you put a spur to it, right? Real cowboys don't do that anymore. You love a horse. You don't put a spur to it. And that'll preach. Isn't it amazing that cowboys have figured out how to treat horses better than churches treat people sometimes? You know, so when I came that morning, I'm used to the spur. I'm used to the spur, been hurt by a church. I got hurt real bad by that church in Montana. I was scared to death. And so when I walked into that breakfast meeting, I kind of was bowed up. He's a little guy. I don't know if y'all, he's like this big. So I'm like, what, you know, what? I didn't do that. I'm lying. In my mind, I was. He's this big and I'm scared to death of him, you know. So anyhow, in a good way, in respect, honor. And so I walked in, and the first thing he did is just put his arms around me, and he just looked up at me and said, it's over, you're home, come home. And he started, and what he did for me is what I just want y'all to know this. He just started telling me about this restoration plan. Thank you so much. How'd you know I needed that? You're amazing. I was just going to ask for some water, for reals. Okay, can somebody open it for me, though? Thanks. No, I know. I can't even button this, much less open that. Okay, thank you. just a minute. Okay. So anyhow, I'm getting to the end here. So long story short is that he told me about a restoration program that he had gone to that he had started at the church called Restoring the Foundations, and asked me if I wanted to go. And of course, I like, yes, I would love to go. And he said, and all I want you to do, John, is just come and sit and be loved. And whatever happens, happens. That was 9 years ago. And this October, he started, about 5 years in, he started sending me out, going to our network churches and started sending me a little bit and sending me. And then this October, talk about just coming all the way around, Gail and I went full-time in the ministry again after 9 years. Yeah, so praise God. So this song just says it all. It just says, God must really love me. And it's the, I want to tell you this real quick. This is the first song, new song, and a new CD that I've recorded since 2000. And this is my only, like, new, if you won't call it single. I'm not really doing all the radio stuff, but it's my new song. And it's the first new song I've had in 14 years. So I hope y'all like it. Thank you, Jesus. Turn it down a little bit. Yeah. That's good. Been times I let my faith run thin, not being the man I should have been. And after all the trouble I've been in, I'd have gave up on me. Well, I lived hard and I lived fast. Lost things I never deserved to have. Oh, but someone looked past all of that. God must really love me. Oh, when I look at the miracles around me, at the way that I live and the way He forgives, I know He's up there smiling down on me. And I believe the only reason why I get to live this life is God must really love me. Yeah, come on. Woke up and feel you by my side. The perfect girl, the perfect time. Oh, and see the way my future shines. Oh, God must really love me. Come on. Oh, when I look at the miracles around me, at the way that I live and the way He forgives, I know He's up there smiling down on me. And I believe the only reason why I get to live this life is God must really love me. Yeah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the greatest thing is He's no respecter of persons. He loves you just as much, right? I love this part right here. When I showed the worst, He saw the best. On He pulled the world right off my chest. And every day I wake up, I feel blessed. Yes, Lord, I feel blessed. God must really love me. Oh, God must really love me. Yeah, God must really love me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Woo. Oh, God must really love me. Yeah. Oh, God must really love me. And He loves you too. You know He's all for you. Yeah. Oh, God must really love me. Yeah. Amen. You know what thank you, Jesus. Let's do that. This is a, I think I'm supposed to do this song. This is a song, a true story of one of my best friends and how he got saved. And what I want you to hear in this song is that you may be married or you may be with somebody or dating somebody or know somebody that you can clearly see that God loves them, but they don't see it. And you praying for them, you believing for them, and they're just, to your mind, it almost seems hopeless. I just want you to know, it's never hopeless. I'm the epitome of that. No matter how many years, it's never hopeless. And this is this true story of how he was playing the nightclubs, playing in a country band, and he'd come home every night, and every night his wife would meet him at the door and just love him anyhow, you know. There's a lot of wives that would just be beating him over the head with the Bible, but she would just love him, love him, love him, love him, and just be praying for him and praying for him. And this night he came home and she didn't meet him at the door. So it got his attention, and he's laying in bed, and she starts praying for him when she thinks he's asleep. And this is what happens. Thank you, Jesus. Can you turn this up a little bit? I came stumbling in again about 3:15. She used to meet me at the door in tears. Now she's in bed asleep. Lately things are not the same. She's not like she used to be. So as I crawled in bed, I can't help but wonder, has her love died for me? But she laid her hand upon my shoulder soon as she thought I was asleep. And I heard her softly whisper, "Thank you, Jesus. He brought him safely home to me. Well, I know where I'm going, and I know that heaven's mine. But it breaks my heart in two to think about just leaving him behind. 'Cause I don't want to go without him. I don't want to go alone. Lord, don't give up on him, Jesus. You know she's the best friend I've known. Well, I want our love to last forever. Lord, help him make it home. 'Cause I don't want to go without him. Lord, I don't want to go alone." Amen. Listen to this. "Well, I tossed and turned all night. Her words just wouldn't leave my head. And just before the morning light, I knelt down beside my bed. Lord, this life I'm living has been tearing us apart. So when she wakes up today, I've got to tell her that I've given you my heart." Thank you, Jesus. "'Cause she don't want to go without me." Come on. "Lord, she don't want to go alone. Lord, don't give up on me, Jesus. Oh, 'cause she's the best friend I've known. Well, I want our love to last forever." Come on, Lord. Thank you. "Lord, thank you for taking me home. 'Cause she don't want to go without me. Yes, Lord. She don't want to go alone.
Well, she don't want to go without me. Yes, Lord. Praise God, she don't have to go alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And that dude is an amazing minister to this day. God totally used him mightily. She's fine. She don't bother me. Look at her just run around. Isn't that awesome? I love it. I was doing this church in Oklahoma, and there was about 8 of them in a church that size. And they were just running all over the church, and you could just see the parents are just mortified, like, you know, we don't know what to do. There's no children's program here. And I'm like, man, let's just have fun with them. Who cares? You know, let's. And, you know, so I started just ministering to them kids. You know, I'm telling you what, I've ministered to cows before. I don't care. You know, I mean, literally, I did some fair in Oregon, and they misplaced me. I was supposed to be up on the main stage, and they like, we forgot you were coming. Okay. It said, we can put you in the back. I'm like, well, I don't care. Let's do it. You know, so they put me in the back, and I wasn't offended or nothing. They put me in. All that was there was the cows. I'm not kidding, and they were as close to me as you. And I sang to them cows, and I think one of them got saved. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Because he raised his hoof, you know. Like, I'm like, okay, well, I'll take it. Praise God. What I want to share with you all tonight is just, I want you to understand is that I don't have a lot of, it's not, my. I'm never going to be deep. You know, I'm a deep guy, but I don't preach deep. That's not who I am. I'm going to say something to you tonight in a way that's just you may never have heard it, okay? And sometimes, don't you know that no matter who speaks, you can get something from somebody, and you can get it in a different way if it's said just a different way. And I just have a different perspective because when I'm in Montana, what happened is I started hanging around these cowboys. They're not really even called cowboys. They're called buckaroos. They wear flat-rimmed hats and big old handkerchiefs on their neck, and they look just weird. A lot of silver on them. I don't know what's up with that. But they're like horse whisperers, right? And so this one old boy we're in Gillette, Wyoming, but then we're in, y'all would know it, Grand Tetons, Wyoming, you know. And this guy's putting on a camp teaching horses, and I wanted to learn how to train horses so that I could do that at home. And that's all I was doing. And I'm watching this guy train these horses, and the Spirit of God just fell on me, and I started just bawling my eyes on writing everything down. I'm like, you're teaching kingdom. You don't even know it. You have no idea what you're teaching. You don't even understand that everything you're saying can relate to somebody and can change people's lives. And so there's so many deep parallels that I could show you. But tonight what I want to show you is I want to get to just the core, to the crux, to the deep down part of you tonight. What I want to do is I want to get to why do we do this? Why do we come to church? Why do we honor God? Why do we follow God? Why do we follow His word? Why are we doing this? It's where it hits the pavement, man. What is this really, really all about? So what I want to do is I want to relate it to horses. Are y'all cool with that? All right. So here's how I see it. I get this horse, right? And I'm gonna use this briefly. I'm gonna get to this point. But I get this horse, and I'll go and I'll spend money at a horse auction on a horse. First time I ever went to a horse auction, it was revolutionary to me because what's shocking is you would think that, you know, all these cowboys sit up in like these bunkers and they look down and the horses go down in the bottom. And you would think that they're looking at the horses and they're touching the horses. That ain't happening. If you look up at them cowboys while them horses are going through, they're looking at paper. Because it doesn't matter kind of what they look like. You want to make sure they're fully grown and they're healthy and all that. But what matters more than anything is not what's on the outside. It matters the bloodline. A cowboy values a horse by its bloodline, not by what it looks like.
So if you can, for instance, if you're looking for a roping horse or a barrel horse, you probably want some, you know, if you find a horse that's got some dock or bar in it, dock bar, in anywhere in the paperwork, you best be getting on that horse if it's of a good value. So just to relate it to y'all, just like the car business, if you can buy a car that's really good and got low miles for this much, you can sell it for this much, you're in, right? Same thing with a horse. You want a good horse with good bloodline. So I got a horse with good bloodline, and I spent a good amount of money on this horse, right? And there was just something in me that's just ignorant. You know, I'm new in the horse business. I didn't really know much. And by the way, if you want to get in the horse business, don't. There's no money in it. It's crazy. So unless you just want to spend money every month on hay, there's, you know. So here's the deal. So I get this horse home, and there was such just ignorance. That's the only way I could say it. I got this horse home, and there was some part of me that I just believed that that horse knew who he was. So I get him home, I unload him out of the truck, and I put him in the round pen there, and I'm like, it's like you think you buy a Ferrari, you turn it on, it's brah, you know, and it does a Ferrari thing. This horse don't know who he is. All this horse wants to do is kick me, bite me, run over me, and keep away from me as far as he can, right? And there's a part of me, I'm like, wait a minute. Don't you know who you are? Don't you realize who you are? Don't you know who your bloodline comes from? Don't you know what you're supposed to be acting like? Don't you realize who you are? And more importantly, don't you know the price that was paid for you? I tell you what, you about to find out, because I ain't as patient as Jesus. I was like, this horse is just crazy. I just spent all this money on this horse, and he just running around. You know what he did for literally for an hour or more? He ran in a circle. I stood in the middle, not knowing what to do, just because I saw them other cowboys do it. I just stood out in the middle of a circle, and he ran in a circle for an hour. Put his head out and his butt to me the whole time. How many people you know run around circles showing you their butt? Woo. And I'm sitting there, and you know what I decided? I said, you know what? You can run all day long. I'm just going to sit here and wait on you. Because there's going to come a time where you're going to stop running. And you know what? I'm going to be here when you stop running. And when that horse finally, what happens is it's almost, I don't like to use the word magical, it's amazing what happens. Is it just, they get tired of running in circles, doing the same stupid thing all day long, every day. And so finally, he stops. And there's just this amazing moment where he turns to me, and sweat pouring off of him, nostrils flaring, ears forward, licking his lips. And what he's saying with every head bowed to me, and what he's saying with every part of his being is, what do you want from me? And it was then that I really realized that until he came to that point of where he was asking me what I want, he hadn't even started to live. He hadn't even started training. There was nothing I can do. I have all the tools. I know where. See, he doesn't even know. I know his end from his beginning. I know who he is. He don't know who he is. So I know what I want to draw out of him. I know what I want to teach him, what I want to love him. I want to mold him. I want to shape him. I want to grow him up. All he wants to do is get away from me. But when he faced up, I'm like, see, when you face up to me, now I can start teaching you. And I just want to just take that moment just right there, say that I'm sure everybody in here has come to their face-up moment. But if you haven't, you haven't even begun to live until you find out why you're here. Why were you even born? What does God want from you? Right? So it just becomes this amazing part. Here's the thing. What is the end result? If you talk to most cowboys and horse people, not cowboys, horse people, they'll usually use a word like, how broken is that horse? You've heard that? How broken is he? See, brokenness is not a sign of maturity. Brokenness is a sign of on the road to being mature. You got to follow me here because it might kind of shake you up a little bit. Brokenness is where it starts. See, the when I can get a horse, I don't want a horse that's just broken. I want a horse that's at rest, that's at peace. Here, cowboy lingo. I want a horse that's straight up in the bit. That's what that means is, you ever been to a parade and you see those horses that they're walking down in front of thousands of people? That horse is not just broken. That horse is, the bit in his mouth, they actually use a dual bit. And it's just a little thing in his mouth. It doesn't even, he doesn't even need it. It's just for show. This horse is so in love with the master, so in love with his trainer, so completely in tune with the person that has honored his life, that he would do anything for him. That's straight up in the bit. So here, if you just follow me on this, what that is being called being at rest. That you get to the point that you're so in love and so in tune and so broken that you are completely at rest in the relationship. That you're no longer trying to earn his love. You're no longer trying to show your how good you are. You just are in the relationship, that you're completely at rest and you know him and he knows you, and it's called, another term for it is push button. That you could just, you don't even need to touch the reins. You could lean your leg one way and that horse knows right where you're going to go. You could just, and that horse will stop dead. The horse will go here or do this or whatever because he's completely past the stage of just broken. And just at the place of totally at rest in the relationship. You know, when you see wild horses, and I just hope y'all are kind of catching this. When you see pictures of wild horses, you know, you ever seen the picture in the movies? You know, you always see the horses are just beautiful, right? And they always do it in slow motion, and the horses are running, and the hair's flowing, and it just looks so cool from a distance. Well, I have been to the High Line of Montana and went and captured me some wild Mustang horses. And I'm going to tell you what, it ain't like that at all. That is a 100% lie. And you get up there, and you know what the biggest thing is, that from a distance it looks like they're just so having so much fun and they're running. But what you realize is that a horse is a lazy animal. They ain't running nowhere unless they're running from something, especially when they're wild. You want to see a horse doing what it's called to do when he's under the master's rein. The horse is just straight up, man. Just, you can tell this horse is just ready to do whatever he's called to do and is fully enveloped in his purpose in life. You want to, and what, you turn him loose, he's out in the field, he just got his head down, just eating grass, and just at rest. There's no fear, there's no doubt, there's no worry, there's no stress. He's just at rest. But you look at them wild horses, if you ever think about it, when I got up close to them wild horses, what I realized is they're running from something. If you get up close, there's claw marks all over them, bite marks from each other. There's every wild animal, everything trying to kill them. And that's the life that we look at and think, wow, that must be incredible. No, from a distance it looks good, but when you get up close to it, it's not, right? What I'm going to finish on is this. I'm going to give you this scripture, and then I'm going to sing a song. And if you can show that scripture, it's Galatians 2:17, right? Yeah, 2:17. Okay. What I want to do is I want to read you, I've got a different translation our bishop gave us. It's called the Mirror Bible, and it's just a really cool translation of grace, and it just really explains grace in a really powerful way. I'm not somebody who's like a super grace, to the top level, but I do believe that if grace was taught correctly, if you understood all that he did for you, sin really has nothing to do with it. See, sin, we try to say, well, grace, it means you can go out and do whatever you want. That ain't what it's saying at all. It has nothing to do with that. So this is what I wanted to show you right here in Galatians 2:17. I just want to read this as this kind of goes. You'll see it's completely different. It says, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. It's therefore Christ, the minister of sin, God forbid. So let me read you this translation. However, if in our quest to discover righteousness by faith in what Christ did for us, we did that it is still possible to stumble, do not now label yourself a sinner yet again. The fact that you sin does not cancel the cross of Christ and gives you no reason to abandon justification by faith as if Christ is to be blamed for your distraction. That would be absurd. The next verse 18, this is powerful right here. Can you switch up to 18? For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Watch this. Verse 18 says, only a con artist will try to be a lawman and a grace man at the same time. So what does that have to do with what I'm talking about? Like I said, this has been working on me. This is what I believe, and I, if y'all can just tune in with me right here. This is what I believe is the downfall of most people, most Christians, is that we are still trying to earn it. We're still trying to be approved. We're still trying to get our God's attention. We're still working at it. And that is a sign of a horse that needs to go back in the round pen because you ain't there yet. Let me just show you this in love. I just want to show you this in love. How many times have you seen in Scripture where God is saying, if you think you know what you're doing, then just go ahead. I'm just going to sit over here and wait on you, right? And it could be years, right? And then there comes a point where you just come to the end of yourself and you just realize that I can't do this by myself. I need him to be in full control, right? And then you become submitted. And then what you do is you just fall into rest. When you come completely full circle in your life, you just come to a place of just going, not my will, but yours. And I just want to rest in you. And see, here's the deepness of where I'm going with this tonight. The reason I can say this is because I still deal with stuff. I still have to deal. I still, just being very transparent, I still deal with anger sometimes. And I still have issues over here and over there. And I'm just like, how come I just keep going around this mountain over again? Have you ever gotten to a point in your life where you let's use anger, where you have a fit of rage? A grown man or grown woman shouldn't be still in a fit of rage. We should be able to overcome that, right? But have you ever gotten to that place and you make yourself look completely ridiculous in front of everybody? And then you go and you fully are broken and you fully apologize, but in the back of your mind, you know that you're going to do it again. Or we could use anything. Let's talk about addictions.
I'm just getting real to the nitty-gritty here. How many times have you been, and there's people in here that have secret stuff going on in their lives, and it's killing you. Not because you, there's very few people that just become hard-hearted about it. I'm just going to do it. It's actually the opposite. It's actually, it's what's so devastating about it is the tormentor is destroying you over it. And is talking down to you and saying, look at what you're doing. How dare you do it? You say you're a man of God. You say you're a woman of God. That's what happened to me. If I could have just come to the place where I could have said, I got a problem, and gone to somebody that loved me. But no, you hide it and you fake it. And then it becomes, the next thing you know, you start separating yourself from the word, and you start separating yourself from prayer, and you start separating yourself from God. And the next thing you know, you're all the way over here, and you don't know how you got here. Yeah. It isn't, deception doesn't happen overnight. It happens little by little by little. And so what happens to us is that secret thing going in is making you feel guilty, making you feel trashy, making you feel dirty. But in the back of your mind, you come in here and you pray, and you may come up here and you lay it all at the altar. And in the back of your mind, you know you're going to be right back there. Maybe it's just me, but that's where I was. You know how many times I bawled my eyes out? God, take this from me. I can't deal with this. And in the back of my mind, I remember laying on the floor at church and crying out to God that as I got up, it would stay down. And as soon as I got up, I knew that I'd be right back at it. Why? Why? Because we're not at rest. You haven't come to the place where you can let it go, and you can let him take it. That sounds so easy, but what I'm talking about is not just some thing. I'm talking about a heart condition where you take your mind and you turn that over and say, God, I need you to ravish this thing out of my life. And then I start speaking over that thing and start saying, this has no part of my life. This has nothing to do with me. It ain't my problem no more. I lay this thing down, and it is not my problem. I'm not picking it up. It is not any part of me anymore. I am no longer that person. And I hope I'm speaking. There may be of y'all some that's just kind of maybe not getting this, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that down deep inside, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And see, what it's doing is it's destroying your life because you keep going around the same mountain over and over and over again, and you have no freedom, and you're not at rest, and you're not at peace. You're doing the best that you can, and you're trying with everything in you. But if that, you in the back of your mind, you're thinking, if that brother knew what I was really going through, if that sister knew, they wouldn't talk to me the same way. They wouldn't go with me places they go to. They would never believe what's really going on inside of me. And see, that's the thing that starts eating you like a canker worm. And that's the thing that makes you feel guilty. And that's the thing that makes you feel like you will never get to be straight up in the bit. You need a revelation of grace. You need to learn one thing. The spur ain't coming no more. That's not how God works. He's not mad at you. He don't even see it. He just sees your torment. And he sees that you're not being fulfilled. And he sees that you're not able to do all the things that he called you to do. It has nothing to do with his love. How many times have I had horses that I fully trained, and they just never would give me that they're all. And I'm like, don't you know who you are? Don't you know the price that was paid? Don't you know that if you'll just submit this to me, I've got awesome plans for you over here. But they couldn't see this over here. All they could see is this right here, the muck and the mire. And they just saw
the daily grind of it all. And they never got to a place of peace. They never got to fulfill their calling. I want you to know that all are called, but few are chosen. And sometimes I think the reason few are chosen is because you won't answer the call. Because you are allowing the tormentor to keep you in the muck and the mire. And it ain't God. And it isn't even you. It's the choices we make. I agree with that. But it's so much deeper than that. You have to go deeper than that. You have to see what's really going on. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy you. I just want to end with that tonight. My heart is tonight to say, if we could just, you know what, just everyone bow your head. I just felt like God just showed me this right now. And I know we have refreshments in the back, and I want to end this, and I want to be honorable to the clock. I don't even know what time it is. But this is my heart tonight is, I've been there. I'm still there sometimes. I still don't feel like that I am walking in complete peace and complete freedom. But God showed me something. It was like revelation to me. And it just, I really can see that this is one thing. This is what I want you to do. I want you to think about one thing in your life right now that's distracting you. One issue in your life that's keeping you from your fulfillment, from your rest, from your relationship with God. I just want you to focus. And here's what I don't want to. As soon as you start doing it, the enemy for some of you is going to rush in and start condemning you and convicting you. Don't let that thought come in. This is a mature, deep thing that I want you to do. I want you to start thanking him for taking it from you. Thank you, Father, for taking this from me. Thank you, Father, for exposing this to me. Thank you, Father, that this is not who I was called to be. Thank you, Father, that you have made a way to prepare my heart and my life to take this from me. Thank you, Father, that your word says that I don't have to walk in this, that I can walk in victory. Just start, as I'm saying, that just start thanking him under your voice. Just start thanking him in your head. Start praising him for releasing you of that thing. Just start praising him thanking him for pulling it off of your life, taking it off of your chest, taking it out of your mind. Just start worshiping him and giving him gratefulness that you are not bound by sin, but engraved in grace, that you are completely set free, that by Galatians 2:17, that you are no longer bound by the law, you're no longer bound by sin, that you are completely set free, and then start taking that thing, and you don't give any merit to that thing, you just start telling that thing that it has no bearing in your life, that it has no authority in your life, and you're starting, and what you're doing is you're starting to be thankful and grateful that it is removed out of your life. And then what I want you to do is take that thing, and I want you to write it down. But I don't want you to write it down. You have to do it tonight when you go home tonight. Just take that thing and write it down, and then crush it up in a piece of paper and lay it at the altar and say, this thing will not hold me back any longer. I am not called by what this thing is. I'm not called by destructive. I'm not called by destruction. I'm called by his word, by what his word says over me, and by his promises. I refuse to be called by this sin. I refuse to be named by this. I refuse to find my identity in this. I completely stand in the authority of the freedom, of the peace
that Jesus, when he died on the cross, that he nailed this thing to the cross. And it is no longer mine to walk in, to get in the muck and the mire with. And I just speak freedom and peace over my life and over the situation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And just begin just to praise him for it. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for peace. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. Thank you, Jesus, for your authority. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to be involved in this anymore. Thank you, Jesus, that I am set free. Thank you, Jesus, that I am who you say I am. I am no longer what this thing has said that I am. And then, as you get home tonight and you just fold that piece of paper and put it at the cross, throw it in the trash, do something. And what I want you to do is I just want you to start celebrating it. I just want you to start walking in that thing and start speaking life over you and start thanking him for his promises, thanking him for his calling over your life, thanking him for what you were born to do, thanking him for your purpose, and no longer be focused on anything that's going to keep you down. And even if someday, somehow, some way, you may fall to that is nothing to do with it. Just start going back to this, that I am, by the grace of God, I am set free. Amen? I'll sing this last song. It's a song that I sang for years, and I had no idea. Me and a friend of mine, Del Way, wrote this song years ago, and I didn't even know what I was singing. And it wasn't until I've come to this place in my life now that I start singing it, I realize how powerful it is. It's called "The Old Man Is Dead." Y'all have probably heard it, but I just want you to hear it in that light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now and then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me, "Hey, Johnny, where you been? And what's on my mind?" They wonder why I'm not drinking, still painting that old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. Amen. Listen to this. This man you see before you, oh, I may look a lot the same, and I may wear these same old clothes and have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, praise God, you'd see that I'm a brand new man. Oh, and the old man is dead. Thank you, Father. You know, the word says that I'm co-buried with him, and then I'm co-risen with him. The old man has nothing to do with me anymore. That's not who I am. You know, I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope in sight. Well, I was lost in darkness, just searching for the light. But then one night, a little church, after hearing what the preacher preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus, and now the old man is dead. Oh, this man you see before you, oh, I may look a lot the same. And I may wear these same old boots, oh, and have the same old last name. Oh, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, praise God, you'd see that I'm a brand new man. And the old man, he's dead. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, I know you would see that I'm a brand new man. Because the old man, he's dead. So the Bible says that he's buried, co-buried. And that means that we have to leave him buried and that we are co-risen. And that means that he lived a life that I couldn't live so that I could be what he called me to be. You are all called, and you got to not allow anything to keep you from fulfilling why you were born. Amen. Thank y'all for having me. I think I'm going to leave it at that. Thank y'all for having me.
Amen. Hallelujah. How many are glad the old man is dead? Amen. Hallelujah. Buried, crucified, died, buried, quickened, raised, and seated with him. Amen. In heavenly places. Amen. Awesome. Give a hand to the God and Johnny Rollett tonight. Certainly enjoyed having him with us tonight, and Gail, and being a part of our family here. Amen. So awesome. Stand with me tonight. I want to thank all of you for coming out and being a part of our service tonight. Amen. I hope you were touched. I hope you were ministered to. Amen. I hope something that he said spoke to you tonight. Amen. In a lot of different ways. We may all be at different places in our lives, but how many know God is faithful in every step of the way? How many can raise your hand tonight and say God has been faithful every step of the way? In the good, the bad, and the ugly, no matter what, no matter what, God is faithful. He's faithful to us. He's faithful to our children. He's faithful to our families, our spouses. Amen. Whoever it might be. Let's just bow your head for just a moment. If you're here tonight and something that Johnny said spoke to you, maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior.